Hello and welcome back to another episode of the HRER podcast, where we delve into the world of HR emergencies and scandals. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to HRER on your favourite podcast platform.
Get ready for scandalous stories, lessons learned, and a generous dose of advice for HR professionals for navigating the HR landscape.
Our goal here is not just to entertain, but also to help you learn from the topics we touch on in order to save your business from its own emergency. When IT go into the computer, they're going to find evidence of inappropriate material that he has accessed. On first viewing, IT have not only seen what he has been accessing of an adult and graphic nature during work time, but they have also found that he's been looking at the OnlyFans page of another employee who is a direct report of his.
If she's using work equipment and work time to do this, potentially the
only... Do they take money off her?
whether we go as far as taking commission, I suppose that would be a company... A company decision. Well, he wants to know what we're going to do about the employee who has the OnlyFans page. Never mind the fact that he's been looking at...
Yeah, he's been peeking.
God knows what on the internet. We need to make sure that because of what's gone on, this actually came out into the workplace. Immediately then, everybody's trying to log on and...
Have a look.
And she's getting a bit of ribbing for this.
And we're back in the saddle.
It's your favourite topic.
It is, yeah. I love
this one. You're excited about this one, aren't you?
We've been talking about this one a lot, haven't we?
Yeah.
It's a juicy one. There's a lot of sauce in it. It's the wonderful world of OnlyFans. It's come up.
OnlyFans, social media, side hustles. We've got it all covered off
one. Lots of buzzwords, eh? Yeah. Let's jump right in with the email.
Look at that smile. You can't wait, can you?
I don't know what it is. It's excitement. I'll leave. My opinions don't matter on this day, so we'll just...
All opinions are our own.
Yeah. We'll try to keep it topical and professional as well. Yeah. Okay, cool. Hi, Alyssa. Where do I start? We've had Ben in the office today. His computer is riddled with viruses. It is a work computer. And he says he needs IT to fix it. He did state he had tried to get it sorted privately, but because of access restrictions, they couldn't do it. He has then admitted that when IT go into the computer, they're going to find evidence of inappropriate material that he has accessed. On first viewing, IT have not only seen what he has been accessing of an adult and graphic nature during work time, but they have also found that he's been looking at the OnlyFans page of another employee who is a direct report of his. I spoke to him and told him what we found, and frankly, I'm a little incredulous. He has asked what we are going to do about one of the team having an OnlyFans page. Any guidance on how we handle this would be much appreciated, feeling a little out of my depth with this one, and I think so they should.
I mean, the first thing, I think, well, he wants to know what we're going to do about the employee who has the OnlyFans page. Never mind the fact that he's been looking at...
He's been peeking.
God knows what on the internet. So to give you a bit of context for this one, I don't think we're allowed to say the word on the internet. I think it's, you know, on TikTok where people have different words for naughty words.
Yes.
He'd been looking at some graphic stuff. Whether it's illegal or not, I'm not an expert on that particular area of the law. I have to say it wasn't the focus of my law degree.
No.
However, totally unacceptable, totally against company policies. That really, you know, it was a bit of a shock with this one when it was sort of, well, yeah, I've been looking at some naughty stuff online, but what are you going to do about Karen who's got an OnlyFans page?
Point the finger elsewhere.
Exactly.
He's come to you with problems first, hasn't he? So it wasn't vanilla stuff. Vanilla is like the plain term, isn't
it? Yeah.
We'll I just don't. I'm a bit speechless, to be honest. I think we'll keep it simple. We'll jump straight into the questions, and we'll probably build a bit of a frame around that. So I'm going to move my mic out of the way. Okay. First question to ask as an employer: how should HR address the issue of an employee engaging in a side hustle? Hustle. Especially one that may conflict with the company's values and or policies.
As we've said, this isn't necessarily the primary issue of this one, but if you've got someone who has a side hustle, so what we mean by that is they're making a bit of money on the side, doesn't have to be OnlyFans. It could be, you know, other platforms are available. It could be that they are working a night shift somewhere.
Yeah.
It could be that they, you know, are an influencer and they're trying to get a bit of cash that way. It could be anything. And you may think, well, what an employee does in their private time is up to them. But to some extent, an employer does have a little bit of reach into somebody's private life, particularly where if they are working, if they're pulling two jobs, they could be working a significant number of hours. There's a well-being perspective there. Is somebody coming into work after being on a night shift somewhere else? Are they well enough to be at work in terms of, you know, are they going to be falling asleep? Is this going to be a downward spiral in terms of what's going to happen to their health and well-being? Is it something that conflicts with your own business? So I have actually had a situation where we've had somebody, and I know who's going to be listening to this, and she's going to be really, really happy that I'm referencing what's going on there, because they love the podcast, where they had somebody who was actually competing with the business in their private time. So they were doing one thing for the business, and then they were going and using company material to go and make money privately doing the same thing.
Conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest. You're on the ball today, Ollie. So there's loads of situations where an employer actually does have an interest in what an employee is doing in their private time. So what we often see in the contract of employment, back to contracts, back to policies. So we take a really, really interesting topic and we make it boring. We go back to contracts and policies. Do we, in the contract of employment, limit what people can do outside of work? Are we saying this has to be your primary employment? And if you want to undertake other work of any kind, you need to get permission first. And where we see these clauses really getting into detail, it covers things like volunteering. So things that are like work, whether they're being paid or not. So my background, I've been an RNLI volunteer for 18 years. I had to get permission from every employer I've ever had to be doing that, because I could be doing a very heavy job in the day, working an 8-hour day and then commuting, and then up all night going out to sea. And if I rock into work the next day and I'm not fit to be at work because I'm shattered, well, that's going to affect how well I can do my job. So it's a perfectly reasonable thing to have in place.
Of course, yeah.
And lots of employees, particularly with the advent of things like TikTok, the influencer movement and OnlyFans, think, well, it's my private time, I can do what I want. The need to be clear whether or not this is in the contract or not.
You got to think as well, like, if, like, LinkedIn's a big deal nowadays, isn't it, as well? Like, if someone's using their actual name on OnlyFans, it's not like a hard job to track them down on LinkedIn and go, link to that company. Mm-hmm. Like, it don't look great.
And actually, you've raised a really key point there, that what the employee does in their private time, and if they have permission to have a side hustle, what we're going to call a Karen, what Karen's actually doing online, technically, do we then have any interest in saying, well, you should or shouldn't be doing that? However, if it's something that can affect the reputation of the company, that could make the company be seen in negative light or could be detrimental to them, then actually, yes. So where we're seeing this now spilling out in the press is where teachers have been found by pupils and parents to have OnlyFans accounts, where actually the information's quite graphic.
Yeah, yeah.
And the stance taken by schools is this is a safeguarding issue, because if pupils are seeing teachers in these sorts of situations and environments, then it raises some really serious issues that the school has to deal with.
They're a role model as well, aren't they?
Like, exactly.
They're looked up to most of the time anyway.
So it's not a case of looking down on what people are doing. People are trying to earn a living and they're using what they've been given to go and do that. Great if it's in their private time, but if it spills over into work and it affects the employer in terms of their reputation, then that is something that the employee can do something about. And one of the first cases we saw around this was where the employer actually lost. So it was a supermarket, I think, from memory. And there were some employees who were messing around in the warehouse with plastic bags. And the logo of the supermarket was visible on the bags. And so they were obviously not working, for want of a better word, dicking around in the warehouse.
Yeah.
And I believe the employer, from memory, this is an old case, you know, it was when YouTube was relatively young, they dismissed them. And when it got to tribunal, turned out it had only been viewed 12 times.
Oh, so the damage was relatively...
So enormous reputational damage. It's been seen by a whole of...
That was sarcasm.
Maybe not even 12 people, probably 3 people had watched it a few times.
Yeah.
So we've got to be reasonable in terms of, you know, is there really reputational damage, or are we just overreacting and using that as an excuse? 12 views, probably not enough. If it's been viewed 100,000 times and it's really easy to link you to the employer, like you said, with a name and their company on LinkedIn or on Facebook, sometimes people put where they work, then it's an easier jump to make. But yeah, reputational damage for an employer is something that they can consider when they're looking at things like employees who are on OnlyFans.
There's an old adage, isn't there, like sort of death by association?
Exactly.
Which is, I think it's appropriate there. Wicked. Second question from an employer standpoint. What is classed as inappropriate content? Is there an unfair bias in the workplace between men and women?
So again, really interesting question. You're on the ball today, Ollie. This is on fire.
This is a controversial one, isn't it?
So I'm going to take this question in two parts. Firstly, what's inappropriate material? Because we've still not kind of gone, was it Kevin, Steve? What was the guy's name?
I think it was Kevin.
Kevin. So Kevin, who's been looking at naughty stuff on his computer. The line's relatively clear on what's acceptable and what's not. And actually, we don't even really need to go into that definition. It's a work computer. Mm. Is it work related? Probably not. Therefore,
depends what they do, I suppose. But, yeah.
I'm going to assure you in this situation, it was definitely not work related. He's crossed a line.
Yeah.
The fact that he's done that, this is a really serious disciplinary offence, and there's enough there. If we allow people to use their work computers in their personal time, and they're allowed to use, you know, for personal browsing, personal email, it's really important that in policies that we have that line to say, with the exception of that, you're not looking at things that are inappropriate or illegal online. So that's dealing with the Kevin stuff. In terms of then the OnlyFans side of this, if we haven't got that link to the company and we're no longer considering the reputational stuff, if somebody is doing something that's graphic or in the mind of somebody else inappropriate in their own time, there's nothing as a business that we should be involving ourselves with. And, you know, we had a discussion when we were planning this session, didn't we, about the gender roles aspect of this.
We did, yeah, we did.
And how... because this is a woman who's created that content, that it naturally evokes a certain feeling. Whereas had this been a guy, would it have been the same? Now, I'm not saying whether it does or it doesn't, but would the reaction from Kevin necessarily have been the same? Would he have been looking at this material had it been a direct report who was male? Probably not. And in this situation, he'd viewed that page over 100 times.
It'd become much more than a habit.
It had. Mm. But it's, yeah, we've got to be very clear that we're treating everybody the same, that we're not focusing on somebody because of their gender and because they've chosen to go and do this. And when we think about OnlyFans, we're often thinking about women who are creating this content, and we instantly think about it being inappropriate, graphic, or of a certain nature. And actually, OnlyFans, it's a much broader platform. There's people doing all kinds of stuff. And, you know, we've talked about feet. Feet is a bit of a thing,
yeah,
on there, isn't it, as well?
People gamble on there. Mm-hmm. Like, people, like, well, for some reason, they watch that.
Yeah. But we've got to be really careful that we're not jumping to gender assumptions, or we're not exhibiting bias, one, because of the platform, or two, because of who might be putting stuff on there. So we should be treating Karen in the same way as somebody else who may not share her gender and who may be putting content or information out on another platform just because she's female and she's putting something out that potentially involves nudity or something that someone might see as inappropriate. We shouldn't necessarily be doing anything about that if it doesn't affect the business.
Equality.
Exactly.
Across all fronts. Wonderful. Third question from an employer standpoint. How do, as HR professionals, do we check if the content has been in company time, and what are the disciplinary actions?
So with this one, it's monitoring that we're looking at. We're going to be going into Kevin's computer to see what he's been doing and when. So we've actually put some content out recently about monitoring. So we've got a blog about it, and there's some shorts about it. So do, you know, check out social media to see in more detail about that subject. But in this situation, we're going to be going into his computer. We're going to be accessing his history, and we're going to be looking at timestamp to see what he was doing and when. Now, there could potentially be an argument if he was doing this in his private time. Well, you know, what's the big deal? But if we have a policy that says absolutely nothing of this nature on a company computer, then we are absolutely justified in taking action. And in Kevin's instance, we've got a few angles here. One, he's using a company computer for things that he shouldn't be doing. Two, he was doing it during work time. So he was looking at inappropriate material, mm-hmm, when he was supposed to be working. And where we actually got him on this one with an additional allegation was the level of interest that he was showing in this employee with the OnlyFans page. As I said, he'd viewed this page over 100 times in a very short period of time. And his attitude when he was confronted about it was, what are you going to do about her?
It's a very unhealthy dynamic with a coworker, isn't it?
It is.
Very
and
the,
immediately he was blaming her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's her fault for having this page. It's her fault for putting that content out there. Totally unacceptable.
No accountability.
It was him whose behaviour has fallen below a certain standard. And actually, when we were looking at the behaviour online, it was bordering on an obsession. So that was something that we took extremely seriously. He was dismissed. And I believe actually she took some private action in terms of restraining order type behavior, really? Because it had started to cross that line.
You know, when you do, I'm not sure how much you had to do with like the nitty gritty of it, but can you see like how long he'd spent on each page and stuff?
So I'm not an IT expert, but no. The report that we had in this, it showed that he had spent some considerable time on those pages.
Really? Mm-hmm. As well, like if that's done in sort of company time, is that like, is it company property?
Time theft. Is that what you're talking about? Where he spent time doing things when he should be working.
The
term we use is time theft. So he's being paid to work, but actually he's doing other things. It's time he has technically stolen from the business. And I think there was a Canadian case recently where this went to their equivalent of a tribunal and the employer won. Because when you take the value of that time, so say if someone's paid £20 an hour and for 5 hours a week, they're doing the personal stuff rather than work stuff. You clock that up over a year, you're looking at thousands potentially.
£100 a week, yeah.
So time theft, yeah, that's the term that we use when we talk about that.
Do you always see memes about like, people go in the toilet in work time, like it adds up, doesn't it? I don't know if you've seen that, you must have done, surely.
I mean, I'm not suggesting that we go and time toilet breaks we don't want to be drifting into that one when thinking about time theft, but it's where people are really, really taking the mickey. So when we were on one of the earlier podcasts, we talked about the guy who was watching snooker playing poker. That would be a really good example of time theft. And this one, you know, it's not necessarily the primary issue because of the really kind of sinister nature of his conduct. Mm-hmm. That's the bigger issue here. But certainly, you know, if we were struggling in terms of proof for how serious that conduct was, the time theft would be something that we consider here. But it's really key while we're on this one is that we also mention, you know, how Karen's then treated at work afterwards. We need to make sure that because of what's gone on, this actually came out into the workplace immediately. Then everybody's trying to log on and
have a look,
and she's getting a bit of ribbing for this. And from the one hand, you say, well, you put this information out there, you are being paid for all these views, so the fact that people are looking at it, she's probably a bit happy, bit of a sort of month-end bonus from OnlyFans.
Yeah, definitely.
But we need to be very careful that, again, it's not spilling over into workplace behaviour, that she isn't treated any differently at work because of the content that she's putting out online.
You leave it at the door, don't you?
Leave it at the door.
Leave it at the door. Mm-hmm. Lovely. Last question from an employer standpoint. When it comes to company property, what are the potential legal ramifications of inappropriate material for the company?
So in this instance where we think about Karen, if she was making this content on a work computer in work time, potentially, the content she's creating belongs to the company.
Oh.
So, I mean, whether the company wants to be in the business of OnlyFans, probably raise some eyebrows or some questions.
I should think so.
But actually, if she's using work equipment and work time to do this, potentially
they take money off her?
whether we go as far as taking commission, I suppose that would be a company decision. I suppose if they started doing that, they'd potentially be condoning it. Would that be pimping?
Professional pimping.
Who knows? But let's not go down that rabbit hole. This is some direct advice. If you find that your employees are creating OnlyFans account on work time, that the acceptable thing to do is not to take money from them. It is to deal with this under company policies. There we go. So we've got that serious message out there. We're not taking money from staff members for this. So it wouldn't be what I would lead with, which is, well, thank you very much for creating all this unique content for us. It would be, it's not an appropriate use of company devices. You could ask that the stuff's deleted. It's on company devices. It belongs to the business. And also if that account has been created using things like company email addresses, we could even go as far as potentially asking for it to be closed down. Because if it's linked to a company email address.
Okay.
So there's loads of kind of ins and outs there of that. What the term that we use is intellectual property. So
IP.
Who owns that IP. Also, we need to consider if it's not an OnlyFans issue, but actually someone who is using a work computer then to look at content, is actually how secure is that content? Are they opening up company systems to viruses, which is what happened with Kevin here? His entire computer got infected. It cost this company a fortune because they then had to make sure that all their servers, cloud storage and everything was still secure. So it's not just what they're looking at, it's what they're then exposing company systems to. So in terms of things like GDPR, it could lead to a data leak, which could mean the company gets in trouble with the ICO. There's massive fines when things like that go wrong. So this is something that can really balloon into a much, much bigger issue. So there's lots to think about here in terms of, you know, if people are using company connection systems or computers when they're accessing this kind of stuff.
IP. Wonderful. That wraps up the employer bit, and we'll go on to the employee section now. This is more of a statement. I'm struggling with personal challenges or financial pressures that has led me to engage in inappropriate behaviour at work. How would you sort of tackle that statement from an employee?
So if Kevin came to us and said, the reason that I've been looking at naughty videos online and stalking my direct reports is because I'm having a rough time, we can consider that as part of his mitigation. But ultimately, there is still a standard of behaviour that we can expect from our employees. Mm-hmm. If he got a doctor's opinion to say that he has some sort of compulsion, so perhaps, I don't know, a sex addiction or some sort of condition that makes him behave in a way that exhibits negative compulsive behaviour, again, we can take it into account, but we're still expecting a minimum standard of behaviour. And with Kevin, his behaviour towards his colleague and the sort of stalkerish element of
is
really where this got really, really sinister and quite dark. So where we've got the well-being of another employee, actually we're going to be elevating her interests over his. Yeah. So yes, you know, it might be that his marriage was breaking down, he was having financial issues and other things going on, but Karen's welfare here was paramount for us.
That statement seems a little bit like woe is me.
It was, he was a bit woe is me. But you know what, from off the bat, he was very much like, oh, you know, I've been looking at some stuff online and I've got some viruses, but what are you going to do about Karen and her OnlyFans page?
Yeah, it's
like, well, no, mate, the issue here is what you've been doing, not what Karen's been doing.
No accountability from Kev.
That's not how I told HR to put it. Obviously, you know, I was much, much more professional in how that was verbalized.
Not quite.
Not just stopping him in his tracks. If we flip this on its head, and if we are going to be talking to Karen about the side hustle and her making some money, again, as long as we're in line with company policies, there is no issue with her making a bit of money on the side, particularly if mm-hmm. she's having financial problems and that's affecting her mental health. Provided we're not breaching company policies and procedures in terms of that side hustle, that we've got permission to do it, we're not using company devices, we're doing it in our own time, absolutely fine, as long as it's not illegal.
You've almost nearly fully answered my second question there. I'm going to read it out for the sake of argument anyway. I'm learning additional skills to better develop my personal development. Why shouldn't I be using work property? Mm-hmm.
So if it's not related to work and your employer isn't going to get the benefits of it, I would never assume. The key here is take it to HR or your line manager and say, well, look, I've got these additional skills. It's what I did with the RNLI. So they were teaching mm-hmm. me about resilience, working under pressure, command roles, dealing with upsetting and difficult situations. I said, well, actually, this can really supplement what I do as a lawyer. It's going to make me a better lawyer. They were happy for me then to be doing it in work time and giving me additional time to be doing it. So where there's a clear benefit and it's not going to be detracting from your role and causing a distraction that means that your role suffers, then you may find that an employer actually embraces it. But what I would always say is honesty first. So go to the employer before you commit to anything and say, well, look, this is how I think it can benefit the company and my role. This is what I need. So I need time, I need resources, or actually I need company property to do it. Can we have a conversation about it? That's always a better approach than being sort of negative or dishonest about something and going off and doing it anyway.
Definitely, definitely. An open, like, sort of culture is...
Back to that trust relationship.
Trust is the word I was looking for, yeah. Last one, as an employee, my OnlyFans side hustle is outside of work. Should work even be monitoring me?
So if it's outside of work, then arguably it's got nothing to do with work unless we've got that really clear link between somebody. So if you're somebody who is perhaps the face of your company, so you might be used in a lot of company PR, you might do a lot of social media for them, and that link is very, very easy to make, and the content that you're creating has the potential for reputational damage, mm-hmm. it's reasonable for the company to be looking at what you are doing and then taking a view on whether it's acceptable or not. But if it's completely separate, it's got nothing to do with the business, there's no reputational risk, and actually the link between you and the company can't be easily made, then it's unlikely they'd be able to justify monitoring you in that way.
Yeah, I mean, like we mentioned earlier, see, it's quite easy to track and link information on different platforms nowadays, isn't it? I think.
But we've got to be reasonable in that reaction as well. So back to the supermarket example with the plastic bags, mm-hmm. 12 views. I mean, you know, we're thrilled for all of the 5 or 6 views that we have. I'm kidding, it's loads more than that. you know, I wouldn't want to detract and say 12 isn't a lot. But let's be reasonable. Have we destroyed the reputation of a multinational supermarket because 12 people saw a video on YouTube? Probably not.
No.
So we need to be proportionate and reasonable in how we respond. Back to that reasonable word that we mm-hmm. use so often in employment is, have we taken a knee-jerk reaction? Have we put our own biases and our own opinions on something rather than taking a step back, taking a breath and thinking, well, actually, what's the real impact of what's gone on here?
Use your own discretion.
You can use your own discretion, mm-hmm. but we've got to be reasonable with it.
Be reasonable. Right, lovely. Lessons learned. So what emergency measures can HR departments take to make sure this doesn't happen in this or both sides doesn't mm-hmm. happen in the workplace? What policies are we putting in place?
So there's loads here, isn't there? It's, you know, we've actually, in terms of themes, we've talked about quite a lot. Say from the first off is review your IT and security policies. Mm-hmm. Really, Kevin shouldn't have been able to access any of these sites. When we think about things like, I mean, again, I'm not an IT expert, you know, founded a tech company, should know this stuff inside out, but
we'll get there.
He should have been hitting a dead link, really, when he tried to access some of these pages.
Yeah.
He should never have been able to access this on work systems or on a work computer. So review with your IT what it is that keeps people safe whilst they're at work. Secondly, make sure your policies are robust. So if we can't do it from a technological standpoint, it might be the budget that's an issue or that you don't have IT to lean on, is make sure that the policies are very clear about what you can and what you cannot do on work time and on work devices. Make sure that your monitoring clauses are up to date as well. So if you suspect somebody's doing something, that you've got reasonable grounds then and the ability, based on policy or contract, to go onto that device to see what somebody has been doing. And then finally, the side hustle aspect as well. Mm-hmm. So making sure that we're clear on what contract and policies say, are we going to be approving things like this or not, and how we're going to have those conversations with employees. So it could be that actually the work that people do for you, you don't care if they're up all night, there's no well-being or health and safety perspective to it whatsoever, you don't care what people do. Or it could be that you work in a environment where people's health and safety is absolutely paramount. They might have a hands-on job in terms of things like care, education, where their full attention and their full physical capabilities are needed. And if they do something out of work, it could really detract from their ability to do their role. So think about what's reasonable, think about what you're prepared to accept, and try not to let that bias or your views and opinions on things like OnlyFans or other side hustles come into things. And
try.
You can try. I know your thoughts and feelings on some of these things. And look, I work with some businesses where they're very much TikTok only fans, or what's this rubbish? I don't want any
garbage
of that in my workforce.
Yeah.
You know, what the world's going to a bad place with it all. And there's some who kind of embrace it and say, well, you know, you're gaining some really valuable skills on social media. We can use those. Mm-hmm. Skills on social media, not so much the content that perhaps is sometimes created on
yeah,
OnlyFans, maybe not quite
yeah.
so inappropriate for work. The key is not to let that knee-jerk reaction and those sort of initial biases come into it. We've got to think about things reasonably.
Be objective.
Yes.
Lovely. Closing thoughts. So are you at liberty to disclose what happened with this one, or what should happen? Or
so Kevin was dismissed. Mm-hmm. His employment record was actually clean. And he was a relatively long-serving member of staff. So
okay.
It's unusual where you've got clean employment record and long service for someone to be dismissed without prior warnings. But we felt that his conduct really, really fell to rock bottom with this. Mm-hmm. And we had the welfare issue with Karen as well in terms of his behaviour, and particularly because she had to notify the police about his behaviour because of how serious it was getting. So we dismissed him for looking at inappropriate content during work hours and on a work computer, exposing work systems to viruses through his behaviour, breach of the IT policy, and breach of our dignity at work policy because of his behaviour towards Karen.
I've not heard that one before.
dignity at work. So everybody has the right to be treated with dignity at work, and we felt that his behaviour towards Karen fell below that standard. Mm-hmm. In terms of the support that we gave to Karen with this, she was given support with the police investigation. So when the police actually came into work, we gave, you know, her space, room to hold those discussions, and HR actually gave the police access to all the systems as well to help with their investigation, and she was also offered counselling, which the company paid for.
That's
because
nice,
of you know, it was a line manager, someone that she should have trusted in the workplace, so we really, really looked after her, and Kevin was moved on.
Excellent. Smashed it again. Before we sign off, just to confirm, names and stuff have been changed here, just to obviously protect privacy and such, haven't they?
Yeah.
Just thought we'd clear that up in case we get in trouble.
So if you do have any scenarios that you would like to look at, and you are a bit nervous about being identified, look, we can change names and we can move scenarios around a little bit so companies are less easy to identify. Though we have got some clients who are desperate to appear on here and they want their scenarios to appear on here. So it depends which way the wind blows for you. But thank you so much for listening. It's been a really interesting topic. And thank you, Ollie, for your insightful questions, as always.
Lovely. Well, like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Cheers. Until next time, we're your hosts signing off from HRER. Take care of your HR and may your workplace be disaster-free. Before we go, a big thank you to you for tuning in. And don't forget to subscribe. If you have your own ER stories or suggestions for future episodes, reach out to us at Heroes or on social media, or even HRER@heroes.co.uk. As we navigate the maze of workplace blunders, remember that no organisation is perfect. But by sharing these stories, we can all work towards creating healthier, happier, and more productive workplaces.